different, as you can see. And you say, well, how do you look at a Sunday like this? I look at a Sunday like this as an opportunity to preach and exhibit my faith. Amen. And for a church that should have been out of business in the year 2000, for a church that's had ample opportunity to have its doors closed by craziness, the tornado was sent from Satan. It wasn't an act of God, it was an act of the devil. Amen. But God brought us through. And I believe with all of my heart that the best is yet to come. I believe with all of my heart the best is yet to come. I want to get into the word, some of the word that we worked on Wednesday night, and then also, and certainly don't purpose in being long. I try to be careful about that a little. Boy, the preacher said, when he took his watch off and he said, I won't be long. The little boy said, what does that mean, Mama? She said, absolutely nothing. It's a habit that preachers need to be delivered from. Well, I'm not going to take long with this, and that means they can preach longer than they have before. But I want to go right to the heart of the matter tonight. It's not how long you preach, how short you preach, how loud you preach, or how quiet you preach. It's the word. It's the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I read to you this morning from John's Gospel, chapter 4. So that Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and he besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. That's one of the highlight verses of the entire word of God. There are many, but this is one of them. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. And then inquired he of them the hour which he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. And that's another thing I want us to really key in on in the year to come, to be sure that every member that we're aware of our, not only our house, but household salvation. You know, if you're not careful, you'll love your relative's personality more than you love their soul. I just couldn't dare hurt so-and-so's feelings. Well, I'm at a loss for words on that one. I get a little testy about that time. Because here's the thing. We've got to get eternity-minded. I mean, this is not a game we're playing. What I'm preaching right now, it's not a game we're playing. It's heaven or hell. And there's a reason that you're still alive and that I'm still alive and that this church and other churches that are interested in winning people to Jesus, there's a reason we're alive in the midst of all the craziness and the confusion politically and education-wise and politics and all the rest of it. And that is the end-time harvest. The end-time harvest is what it's all about. And I still don't have my complete answer to God, but God's given this nation a 4-year reprieve, and 1 year's already gone. for all practical purposes, 1 year is gone. And America must have a spiritual revival. How many times have you heard me say that? A lot of times. Well, the Father knew that it was the same hour in the which Jesus said in him, in which Jesus said in him. What did Jesus say in Luke 14? See, that's another one of these. It's all of it. Jesus spoke to the nobleman here, but in Luke 14, he said, go out into the highways, the streets, the lanes, and compel them. Well, I don't believe in leaning on people to get saved. Well, then you're not understanding what the Word of God says. I like what one Baptist preacher, I went to a conference when we had that Jesus hippie revival a number of years ago. I didn't go there to learn about the Holy Spirit. I went there to learn about how to bring in more harvest and what to do with a children's ministry, and we gained a lot of information there. But he said, you know, that word compel means go and don't come back without them. Go and don't come back without them. Compel them to come in. And I know everyone's not going to come in, but at least the invitation is there. And I'll say this, and then I just stay right with where we are here tonight. You know, I think the biggest question mark I've had to deal with in this soul winning outreach is preachers and pastors. Well, how do you know they're saved? I said, that's God's business. But here's one thing, and you lock into this, and this has helped so many of the people of our church. When we stand before God, do we want to stand before God and say, we were so prim, we were so proper, we were so nice, we had such respect for people, we just respected their dignity and their privacy, that we never told them about Jesus, we just tried to live the life. How long is it going to take Friendship Revival to win the world? We're losing the race right now. We got wholesale. There's got to be some wholesaling of soul winning. And you've got to catch a fish before you can clean a fish. I mean, that's just logical. You got to catch a fish before you can clean a fish. You can talk about cleaning fish all day long. And you can disciple yourself and look in the mirror and teach yourself every day. But what God wants us to do is have the raw product of people coming to Jesus, and then we work on them. And, you know, I've had a number of people this year say, you know, Pastor, just hanging around this place, we get discipled. Because when you or one of your staff or whoever you bring in, when they preach, I mean, people shoot for the bullseye here. You know, we're not playing games. And it's easy to get grounded in present-day truth if you just come and listen and practice the Word of God. Well, this man came. He needed healing for his son. That's a noble request that he had and a noble desire. But he wanted to receive from Jesus his way. He wanted it to happen his way. I've been guilty of the same thing. I think we've all been guilty. We want God to answer our prayer, but we want him to answer it our way, on our time, on our calendar, you know, the way God wants. And, you know, I've told you the story many times. When we had to forfeit that 8 acres downtown, we drove past it this afternoon where Pier 1 is located. That whole thing, now they're building. The property has gone crazy down there. I don't have any idea what it was worth several million a few years ago. It's worth mega millions today. But you see, in that piece of property, it was like a New Testament happening to me, and I don't want to get bogged down there. I want to keep moving, but I just want to keep it before us. What was I saying just before that moment? Anyone listening that closely? Wanted to do it his way. All right, he wanted to do it his way, and we had to forfeit that 8 acres that was part of that property. It was on the Trinity River side, 8 acres. Which was our future. We virtually had no parking up on top of that property. And, of course, God gave us 13 and a half acres in downtown property, which is You know, God's done some unusual things for this church. Indeed, he has. And that property was gone for 13 years. I remember going into Jim Wright's office. Jim, with the stroke of a pen, could have taken the restraint off that property, and we could have gotten more money, not much more, but a little bit more money at that point than we could have otherwise, because it had a little floodplain there, even though that was not a big deal at all. We'd been there long enough to prove that. 13 years it was gone. I felt like a failure. I couldn't tell you how many times I've walked that property and driven around that property, said, God, forgive me. Where did I miss it? Where did I miss it? We had to let it go to get the financing on the upper property. But after 13 years, you know the story. It went up to $7 million, and they came to our office and said, that property that we have next door, your 8 acres, I don't know if you'll understand it, but said it's been like a Jonah ever since we've had it. We can't sell it to anybody. We can't sell it to Marriott. No one wanted to go to bed with the church next door, you see, because they'd have to share the parking. It was all in the deal. And so after 13 years, it was worth $7 million more. Several million dollars more. So what I thought was a total failure, God knows how to bring it out on top. He does. And that's how we got our Christian school next door. And you've heard the story many times, but Lester Summerall said the way to keep alive what God's done for you is to tell it. Got to tell somebody. Got to tell somebody. You talk about miracles? We can talk about miracles. All right, here the man comes. He needs a miracle, but he wants it his way. He needs a miracle for his son, but he wants it his way. And he's not. That's not a mean thing. That's just a selfish thing. And Jesus said, well, just go your way. He says, come down. Jesus says, go. He says, Jesus, come down. Come with me to my house. 45 miles. Someone has estimated the distance there. Some 45 miles. Just come down. Jesus, do it my way. My time. My calendar, whatever. Jesus said, no, you missed the point. I'm saying go. And then he said, unless you see signs and wonders and miracles, you'll not believe. Now, so I believe in the miraculous. Dear God, do I believe in the miraculous. Absolutely. We've experienced it many, many times. But the average mentality, even of people in faith, is when I see it, I'll believe it. But the language that Jesus spoke here is, when you believe it, then you'll see it. So simple. And I'm on this today, and I just want to be sure we get it. I'm talking to myself. I'm ministering to me. Would it be all right if I ministered to myself on this? You know, in the natural, we say, when I see it, then I'm going to, when my $1 million comes in, I'll start giving to God. This, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, this has been, Joy and I, our greatest year in giving, and we've had some of the greatest challenges financially that we've had financially this year. But this has been our strongest year of personal giving to this ministry. And I'm not saying don't give to anyone else. We give as God leads, but this is where my heart is, and that's where it is. But Jesus, he said, but Lord, you don't understand. He's dying. Well, does that change the word of God? Who lives, who dies? Who lives, who dies? You know, sometimes people say, well, I prayed for somebody, or I know preachers, you know, I know people that died that were prayed for. Well, I do too. Probably no more than you do. And you say, what about that? You know, that's really none of our business. We'll talk it over in the by and by. We'll have perfect understanding of every person that lived and of every person that died, why some things happened and why some things didn't happen, why there were quick answers and why there were slow answers. We'll know it all. But until then, we're going to keep on singing. We're going to keep on witnessing. We're going to keep on praising and keep on living for God. And so finally, the man had to make a decision. I've either got to beg him to do it my way, and I'm not making much headway here, or I've got to make a decision to go. And he made the decision to go. And he believed. That is so awesome. Here in the fourth chapter of John's Gospel, verse 50, Jesus said, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. You know, it's about time we stop yay-yaying with Jesus and start believing the word. Amen. Don't try to argue with him. No, don't try to debate him, for God's sake. It's time we believe him. Hallelujah. And so we mentioned this morning, three ways that we suggested that I believe the Spirit of God quickened to me. Three ways, I said this morning, to stop identity theft. You hear it all the time, you know. Everyone's talking about identity theft, and it happens and has happened to many of us in this room, either a small thing or, God forbid, hope it wasn't, a lot of things. How do we stop it? How do we stop Satan's identity thief? If he can get you discouraged, he's stealing your identity. Did you hear me? When he gets us discouraged, he's stealing our identity. Because my true identity is, if God be for me, who can be against me? How are you going to improve on that? It just goes right on through. So have faith in God is Mark 11:22, the words that come from Jesus' mouth. Faith, as we face this new year, faith in God. Have faith in God. You have faith, but have faith in God. Secondly, your belief. You pray in faith, believing. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken. Folks, that's not only highly significant, that's the key to the whole deal here. He believed the word. Lord, my son's dying. Jesus said, okay, I'm ready to do something about it. Well, do what I want. No. Jesus said, you do what I say. Go. Go in faith, believing. Trust me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. I'll live for God when I understand. I'll live for God when I don't understand. I'll give when I understand. I'll give when I don't understand. Amen. Praise be unto God. So, use your faith. Let your belief fuel your faith. But thirdly, and I touched on it, and that is praise the Lord. You know what I want to challenge tonight? I wish I had a whole auditorium full for this one. I'm looking for some fanatics. Nothing I've ever really done of great significance happened without a streak of fanaticism in me. As long as you can live without it, you will. As long as you can fake it till you make it, you will. Now, let me just give you an earthly illustration. Out of three boys, I'm the one that shouldn't have done what I'm doing. But then there's some things about me that God saw that he could use. I was interested in football, but I never played. I was interested in basketball. I was good with shooting a basketball, but I never played on a team. The only sport that really got my attention in all my years past is skiing. That got almost my full attention. And at one point, we had a condominium up in Winter Park. And we kind of stumbled on it, went up there and saw them skiing and tried it on our own, almost killed ourselves without lessons. My two brother-in-laws and Joy and my two sister-in-laws at that point. And we went over to the ski school, and we all knew how to water ski. And we said, you know, if you can just stop and turn, you can handle anything on the mountain. And we're listening, you know, like that. And so, hey, no hill for a climber. We know how to handle the water. We know how to water ski. So we went and rented our skis, and in my corduroy pants and my overcoat, because we didn't have ski clothes, didn't have the money to buy them. We were just married, you know. We were just married 2 or 3 years. We hadn't been married long, and you don't have a lot of money about that time. And went up to the top of the mountain and spent 2 days almost killing ourselves, you know. And finally, we looked at each other and said, you know, let's see if we can get a deal on some kind of lesson. We got to have some kind of lesson. What we're doing is not working. We'd go until we'd fall, and then we'd say, well, what did you learn? Well, I don't know. It hurts. That's what I know. It hurts. And so we found a ski instructor, and he gave us a reduced rate, and he went up the mountain with us, and we almost killed him until we finally. But when we got it, we got it. When we got it, we got it. When we got it, we got it. And I'm going to tell you, there is just outside of the things of God, there's no greater thrill than to have a fresh field of powder, a good set of skis, and you're just out there and just tear that hill up and go down and just have all the fun in the world. Amen. Praise God. I love speed anyway. Praise God. But I remember one, now I said all that to say this. I remember Joe and I went up, she went up with me, and we were meeting, I'm trying to think if we were meeting the school or group or whoever we were meeting. We left Fort Worth, and I drove, of course, stopping to eat just briefly and stop for the restroom. I drove 18 hours, got into Winter Park at about 12 o'clock high noon. Got an afternoon ticket. I've driven for 18 hours. Went right to the top and did that. And I was about fighting strep throat at the time. You know, when you're into something, you just don't give a rip, you know. Now, just have patience with me. Paul said, let me indulge in my folly for a moment here. I don't get many moments of folly in the pulpit, so indulge me now. But, you know, then after that, we had to drive back down to Georgetown, up over a pass that you would not believe. It stalled 2 cars out that night, and we got through, just barely got through. And by the time we got to where we were spending the night, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. My body was so tired, I just made sure Joe was okay and fell in the bed. And but, I mean, after all that driving and all that going and just got in 4 solid hours of skiing, and then you drive back over those mountain passes, and we stopped at a doctor and I got a shot because I wasn't feeling well, and then back over another pass, and you finally get down to the little place where you're spending the night. You see, that is crazy. I agree with you. I was crazy. I really was. I mean, that's fanatical. But you know what? I was fanatical in that. And before I came to the Lord, I was fanatical in serving the devil. And I want to be fanatical in serving Jesus. Amen. And I've done some other things that weren't quite that crazy, but I've done some crazy things. I've done some, you know, just God bless me with strength and drive and hard head, and you know, it all happened. It all helps in the ministry, I tell you. Times when you'd quit, and then you that makes you mad, and you get up and say, "No, I'm not going to quit. I'm going forward." Now, what I'm talking about is this: you know, none of us, when you get hungry enough, it's amazing what you'll eat. In travel. Overseas, I eat things sometimes, not often, but sometimes I've eaten things I would not eat under any other circumstance. I was just hungry. I was hungry. When you get desperate, you do desperate things. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Amen. Shall be filled. Hallelujah. And what it's going to take to shake America is a God raising up a bunch of fanatics. You don't have to be a fanatic to go to heaven, but you have to be a fanatic if you're going to take a harvest with you. You don't have to be a fanatic to go to heaven, but you have to be a fanatic if you're going to take a harvest with you. Amen. Praise God. And the thing that I just feel in my heart tonight, you know, it just takes a few fanatics. It just took a few fanatics years ago to raise up Nazism. It took a few fanatics to raise up anti-God theology and craziness in this world. It just takes a few fanatics. You look at public television, some of the biggest idiots in the world are on that thing, and then some of the wisest people. I've heard some wise things on public, but I mean, some of those people, you look in their eyes, they're full of demons. I mean, they've got book learning, but no practical understanding or sense. I'll tell you, God's looking for some people that will do just exactly what this man. The man believed the word that the Lord, that Jesus had spoken. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. Hallelujah. The man believed. Oh, I want that man to be me. The man believed. He believed the word that Jesus had said. Because this is the way the word works. Will Jesus come to my house? No, Jesus, I'm not coming to your house. I'm not going to do it that way. Well, Jesus, I want a miracle, but I want it my way. No, Jesus said, you go in faith. He didn't say go in faith believing, but we know now that's what it was all about because the man believed. The man believed. He said, come down. Jesus said, no, go. Come down, go. And the man made a decision. I'm going to believe the word of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to believe the word of Jesus. And you know, I just challenge you with all of my heart, and I'm challenging myself tonight, that let's make it a year of praising God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you remember Jehoshaphat. Kings became jealous of Jehoshaphat, and they said, we're going to take him out. 10-1. That's what the leverage was there. The multitude, 10-1. 10-1, they said, we're going to come against him. And Jehoshaphat feared, well, I guess so. And he set himself to seek the Lord. And he gathered all of Judah there to ask help of the Lord. You know, prayer still works. Whatever you call prayer, do it. If it's holler, if it's quiet, if it's thinking, if it's praying, whatever you call prayer, get fervent in your prayer. He called people together and there was some fasting involved in that and some prayer involved in that. And they got a word from God. And God said, all right, the battle is not yours, but the battle is God's. We've got to remember, He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Lord of Hosts. He is the Lord of Hosts. And you know what? They're not here tonight. I don't know of anyone that I'm talking about not here, but I've seen some people lose their fire. I've seen some people gain in fire, and I've seen some people lose their fire. I've seen some people that with that bored look in their eyes. You can tell, a pastor can tell that. It shows up in your giving. It shows up in your attendance. It shows up in your soul winning. It shows up. It just shows up. But you know, God's calling. Tonight, there is an elite group in this auditorium called fanatics. On a night like this, there is no other word I can use for you but fanatic. I wore my ski jacket tonight. It's there on the first row. My overcoat wasn't cutting it this morning, so I pulled my ski jacket out. Hallelujah. And my challenge is this. We're going to stand. We're going to live by faith. We're going to, in faith believing, stand on the word of God. And number three, we're going to praise God. In fact, I like what I said. You know, you ask in faith believing, and then you praise your way to victory. If you didn't write that down this morning, write it down. Ask in faith believing, then praise your way to victory. Ask in faith believing, then praise your way to victory. I know years ago we used to use the phrase pray through. And with some people that just meant hollering louder and praying longer, but not necessarily in faith. But real praying through pushes it on through. And praise. And the Bible tells us that they got a word from God. God promised them. God blessed them in every way. And Jehoshaphat, under the leadership of God, got the praise singers together. Now, that's a strange deal. They didn't have a sword. They didn't have a shield. They didn't have turbo chariots. They didn't have helicopters. They didn't have fighter planes from Lockheed. They didn't have bombs. You say, what good's praise? You just whip the tar out of the devil. Glory to God. I mean, it just tears him up. Tears him up. Hallelujah. And what I feel in my heart, the Bible tells us, and when they got these praise singers, when they had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. I'm in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21. This is my closeout thought here. They appointed singers unto the Lord. You know, faith singers are important. Faith singers, faith musicians are really important. Amen. I know there's been a joke in the ministry for years that when they threw Satan out of heaven, he landed in the choir loft. Not in this house. We've had some land, but they were ejected. Praise God. By the Holy Ghost anyway. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Well, what good's that going to do? That should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army and to say. He even told us what they said. Isn't that fascinating? How several hundred years ago, we hear what the praise singers were saying and singing. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. What good's that going to do? Well, when they begin to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And what happened, you know, God has one angel that can take 185,000 out in one night. I've applied for that angel. Amen. One angel that took 100, that's a full night's work. Think about it. I mean, one strong warrior is a handful. 180. You say, what are you trying to do, stir us up? You mighty right I'm trying to stir. 185,000 demons, devils, craziness of hell, and one anointed angel of God. Before the sun rose the next morning, there were 185,000 corpses all over the battlefield. My God is an awesome God. I said, my God is an awesome God. I said, my God, your God is an awesome God. And confusion came among them. And they turned on each... Why are you killing your... Why are you killing one another? They're crazy. Sin makes you crazy. Sin makes you crazy. Sin is a form, a deep form of insanity. You got to be insane to be a good sinner. They killed each other. And the people of God come up, remember, the odds were 10 to 1. They said, can you believe this? All our enemy is dead. And it took them 3 days to pick up the spoil. You missed a good chance to shout on that one. An offering that took 10 days, 3 days rather, 3 days to pick up all the spoil. There was so much. There was so much because of fanatical praise unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's time to praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. It's time to praise the Lord. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken. The man believed the word. The man believed the word. Hallelujah. The man believed the word. Here we are on the eve of this new year, and I just challenge all of us. It's time to let a spirit of Holy Ghost fanaticism just rise up within us. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. What a way to face the new year.
Oh, yes.
Break every chain.
And Lord, we'll shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all here will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
One more time.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
It's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. To you only, God. Kennedy Cinema. Oh, all the earth. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Declare that with us.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. great are you, Lord.
Sing it again.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
One more time.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, my father-in-law was a fiery preacher of God's word. God did a real businessman. God saved him and gave the rest of his life to being a pastor in Dallas and then in Fort Worth also. Something I remember he said, he believed it so strong. He said, son, whenever you preach something, give people a chance to lock into that. Amen. I wonder if we could just come and stand here just for a few moments for a final word of prayer. We're not going to hold you long. I know it's a night of cold and weather and that type of thing. I want you to join with me tonight. Let's pray for the Bible said first of all. Do you and David have that book, First of All? I want you both to have that. I want you both to be sure and get it. Joe, be sure they get that book. Amen. First of all, let's pray for our president. Can you imagine? Now listen to me. He's not perfect. There's some things I wished he wouldn't say. But God put the man in office. I believe that. I mean, I'm not going to get any political debate tonight. But God put the man in office. And I will say this. God forbid, what would you be facing in our nation today? I believe we were just that close to the judgment of God, because the administration that we would have had would have continued this Mohammed streak and immorality and craziness. What is it, 60 million babies now? 60 million babies that have been aborted. So anyway, can you imagine every demon out of hell? Most of us in this room know more about spiritual warfare than our president. He's a baby Christian. Got to pray for him. He's a baby Christian. In my understanding. But we've never had favor in the White House for churches or ministry like we have right now. Believe me.
It's a new day.
And then a vice president who walked to the platform and boldly claimed, I'm born again. It's just like something was parachuted in from heaven. Father, your word said, first of all, pray for kings and rulers. That means presidents, people that are over us. God, we don't agree with everything that anyone does in that respect. But Father, we pray for President Trump, his wife, his family, and the entourage of advisors that surround him. We pray also for Vice President Mike Pence, his wife, his children, the price that these people pay to be public servants, and the entourage that surrounds him. Father, we pray for, first of all, for supernatural wisdom, the mind of Christ, the wisdom of God. Number two, for supernatural divine protection. We've had presidents assassinated, and we say, no way. Thirdly, we pray for divine health and strength and stamina to keep up the pace of leadership in this nation. Father, we lift up our governor of this state, who is a born-again Christian, the lieutenant governor, who is a born-again Christian. We pray for all that are in political office tonight, that there will be a visitation of God, a visitation of God, and a move of God across this nation. Father, I pray for every sincere pastor and every evangelical, especially those that embrace the precious Holy Spirit. God, send now revival. Let this year be a year of spiritual breakthrough, Father. Oh God, we need more than our better homes and gardens and shiny wheels and more money. We need God. We need God. We need God. God, I'm asking that there be a new respect for the house of God and for the true shepherd pastors of our land. Oh God, it's such an important thing in the Word. You said those that honor father and mother. Father, I just thank you there'll be a new respect and understanding and camaraderie between people that serve God in their leadership. God, I'm asking you for everyone who is gathered tonight, and I know there are those that absolutely couldn't. I understand the weather situation here in this area right now. So I'm praying for those that are even watching now, and those that for some reason they're not here but they couldn't watch, but they love this house and they love this ministry. God, raise up, I'm asking you, a nucleus of people. Lord, people that will love not their lives unto death. People that will stand in the midst of the battle. Daniels that refused to stop praying. Hebrew children that refused to bow to the king's commandments. Josephs that refused to bow. Oh, God. God, I'm asking you that from this prayer time tonight, that every one of our lives, we'll see it in the hours to come, the days to come, that we ratchet up. We ratchet up tonight, Lord. We move in closer. But the grace of God, we will experience that new flowing river, the falling rain, the fire of God. Oh, let the Holy Ghost move in each of our lives. We cry for the will of God in our church, Father. We cry for the will of God. Lord, you spared us. Even after tragedy downtown, you gave us the properties we have. And I thank you now. I thank you, Father, that the fire of God's going to burn on this 17 and a half acres stronger than ever before. And you're going to continue to use each of us as witness and soul winners and prayer warriors and givers and goers, full of the Holy Ghost. We pray for everyone gathered here tonight. Pray for Joe and Becky Cruz. Oh God, use them in a supernatural way, Father. Open the right doors for them. Close the doors that they should not enter. Lord, let their latter days be stronger than anything they've ever seen before. Let the fire of God burn, we pray. And I say in the name of Jesus, money cometh. Money cometh. Money cometh to the saints of God in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Lord, I've done my best today to exalt Jesus, honor the Holy Ghost, praise and worship our God. And Father, I thank you that the new year is going to be a good year for all of us. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Let's pray in the Spirit just a few moments. Shabra kara kara kataya. Bruto ramate araba soto rakato raka. We pray, we intercede for a spirit of revival to come across this land. A spirit of revival from coast to coast and border to border. The fire of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. 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 We love you, Lord. we love you tonight. By the grace of God, we'll love you more. This year is over in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let's just pray for one another tonight. Just pray for someone right now. Father, we pray for one another. God, I ask your blessings as we pray one for another. Oh, God, move in a supernatural way. Safety as we drive home. Safety. Safety. Complete safety. In Jesus' name. Safety. Safety. Blessing. A good night's rest. And a fresh touch of God in each of our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise be unto God. Shilabakataya sakataya. Father, you know the people of this house that have had to deal with loved ones passing away with tragedy. I just pray the special grace of God upon every person that looks to this house as their place of spiritual inspiration. Thank you, Father, for the help that only God can give. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Pray for you.
I receive it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just pray for